The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day you turned on your radio and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Yes. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for January 15th, 2021. For our first feature piece this week, we will discuss the U.S. Air Force having come up with a new spy technology that can use your smartphone to track you wherever you go. And also, to determine with whom you are congregating at any given time. Well, gee, what could they do with that? Well, this tech would allow them to see all the owners of all the other cell phones in your vicinity during a protest or a demonstration, for one thing. It would allow them to determine how many are gathering at a particular street or location and or the direction that they might be heading and or whether there's an organization meeting in a hall or a room and or who might be attending. And once they access your smartphone, then from there, they can turn on your home Alexa device to listen in and record conversations, or they can listen in on your Zoom conferencing on your laptop. Yes, I am quite sure that this tech is going to become very popular with our police surveillance state. According to journalist Jack Rasmussen, quote, the latest Air Force lab testing is likely just a recent tip of the iceberg revelation. And if the Air Force is doing it, be assured, so are the Army, Navy, the NSA, the CIA, FBI, and other government snoops. Unquote. So a bunch of totalitarian monsters are taking over the whole freaking world, both militarily and economically. And no one is even talking about it, much less doing anything about it, well, I would suggest you'd best wake up. All right. So, the rump is going to be gone in 5 days. But his legacy yet lives on in QAnon. Now, my understanding is that QAnon is not only putting out a bunch of crazy conspiracy theories that have no basis in actual fact, but they are crazy conspiracy theories that have no basis in actual fact that are also inspiring people to homicidal behavior. And I detest such people, not only because they are promoting crazy conspiracy theories that have no basis in actual fact and that are inspiring people to homicidal behavior, but also because their activities make it very easy to discredit all of the actual conspiracy researchers who are investigating actual conspiracies that are based upon actual facts. For many years now, every time credible conspiracy researchers publish their information, all that the accused needs to do is to cry, conspiracy theory. And all of that information, the people sometimes literally risk their very lives in order to obtain, is all ignored or mocked. What QAnon seems to do is the typical right-wing trick of taking a kernel of truth, such as the actual existence of many organizations that do indeed exist to provide our elites with opportunities to engage in depraved sex, rape, torture-type activities, often involving children. But now QAnon has blown that all out of proportion, sans any of the actual facts, and thus they have made a mockery of the whole issue. Perchance, that is their actual purpose, in fact, even if most of the members of QAnon themselves don't realize that. And in this case, all this truly sucks even more monumentally, because when QAnon goes around falsely accusing people of truly heinous crap, then they help completely discredit the researchers who are looking into the actual sex, rape, torture cliques that do indeed proliferate amongst America's elite. According to researcher journalist John W. Whitehead, quote, child sex trafficking, the buying and selling of women, young girls, and boys for sex, some as young as 9 years old, has become big business in America. It is the fastest growing business in organized crime, and the second most lucrative commodity that is traded illegally after drugs and guns. Adults purchase children for sex at least 2.5 million times a year in the United States. For every Jeffrey Epstein who is finally called to account for his illegal sexual exploits, after years of being given a free pass by those in power, there are hundreds and perhaps thousands more in the halls of power and wealth whose predation of those most vulnerable among us continues unabated. Unquote. Yes, Jeffrey Epstein is an outlier only in the fact that he was actually held accountable for his actions. And even then, only after decades of operating more or less openly. This type of stuff is much more common than almost anyone realizes. That it is not exclusive to the elites. Though they do seem to be overrepresented. And now, QAnon is messing everything up as far as exposing all these people goes. So it seems to me there is one question that no one is asking, even though this question is the very question that everyone should be asking, because the answer to this question would also answer many, if not most, of the other questions that are plaguing humanity at the moment. That is this. When someone claims a fact, why are they not required to provide any evidence? Because if they cannot provide evidence, then their alleged fact is actually nothing more than unproven speculation. And now, dear listeners, it is time to boldly go where no hack radio show has ever gone before. Yes, people, it's time for Slavery Trek, the next generation. So tell me, people, have you ever wished that you could own your own slaves? Have you ever bemoaned all those pesky laws against slavery that prevent you from properly exploiting the people who actually produce your wealth for you? Well, don't despair. The next generation of slaves is being formed right now. And a new initiative that just passed in California almost assures that this new iteration of slavery will soon sweep across the nation. If you wish to cash in on the extraordinary profits that can be derived from employing a workforce of easily disposable slave labor, then in California, all you will need to do is to start referring to your employees as gig workers. And then, like magic, all of those pesky worker rights that all of those people fought and died for all over all those many generations, all those rights just disappear into a puff of smoke. Gone. Vanished. Non in existence. Nada. Yes, people. Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, and Postmates, which Uber now owns, spent over $220 million to pass Proposition 22.
I don't understand.
That's the most money that has ever been spent on any ballot initiative ever.
Words are made too bad.
And their effort basically consisted of a major disinformation campaign designed by the pros to fool California voters into totally screwing their own working class by leaving gig employers with almost no responsibility whatsoever for the fair treatment of their workers. Since 56% of gig workers are immigrants, then no one should really care about them anyway. But times are changing, so more effort is required in these modern days. So whatever. Prop 22's success was not due to malice or a lack of compassion on the part of California voters, though. It was due to a basic lack of facts. Since California has no laws against misleading political ads, then Uber and Lyft spent that $220 million conducting a massive bombardment of the California electorate with an advertising blitz about Prop 22 that, while they weren't outright lies, they were utterly misleading. Which strategy can often be even more effective than one of outright lies. Yes, they pushed Prop 22 on YouTube, Facecrack, Instagram. They flooded email inboxes and in-app messages. And they even dominated the ads that voters saw on Google searches. They were promised that Prop 22 would cause milk and honey to start flowing through the streets, as all those poor, benighted workers would now be free and flexible. And they would be able to now make the big bucks so they could lift their way out of their dire poverty and into the mainstream American dream. Right. As a result of these ads, 40% of California voters thought that they were guaranteeing gig workers a minimum wage. When actually what Prop 22 does is to deprive gig workers of a right to a minimum wage. Prop 22 will also preclude gig workers from accessing Social Security and Medicare benefits and overtime pay. Gig workers will no longer have guaranteed paid sick leave, family leave, overtime pay, unemployment insurance, or workman's compensation. All of those protections are now completely gone for gig workers in California. And keep in mind that these are mostly low-wage people of color. Exactly the workers who usually most need such protections. In addition, a lot of the risks and liabilities that are usually assumed by an employer are now being laid upon the shoulders of these gig workers. Prop 22 even did away with sexual harassment training that had previously been required, and Prop 22 removed any obligation by Uber and Lyft to investigate either customers or drivers' sexual harassment claims. Prop 22 overrides AB 5, which was a labor law passed in California in 2019 that specifically extended such employee classification to gig workers so that they would be eligible for all those things. Now, thanks to Prop 22, they are not eligible for any of those things. So, you may ask, are the Democrats doing anything? Of course they are. Already, they are mounting their steeds and drawing their swords to come to the aid of Uber and Lyft. You say that this law screws mostly workers of color for the benefit of rich white people? Ha! We'll sign the Democrats up. Corporate Democrats are amongst the most vocal advocates for such laws. None other than David Luft, who used to be one of Obama's closest friends and aides, went to work for Uber after leaving the White House, and he is fully on board with exploiting immigrants for the benefit of all his rich white donors. We also have former Obama Secretary of Transportation, Anthony Fox, who has since become a top official at Lyft. And we can't forget Matthew King, who is spokesman for Andrew Cuomo, before becoming a spokesman for Uber. Yes, the gang's all here. According to Vina Duval, a professor at the University of California, Hastings, Prop 22 is probably the most dangerous law to workers that we've seen since Taft-Hartley. It is a far-right law. The way that it was passed was anti-democratic. It is extremely, extremely dangerous to the future. And yet, the people behind it, including Tony West, who is now being potentially considered for Attorney General, were corporate Democrats. Unquote. I feel a need to apologize to listeners for not having covered Prop 22 earlier, but I didn't see it coming. Yes, I did hear a few things about Prop 22 on KPFK and KPFA, but I figured it was a California thing, completely forgetting that how California goes is often how the rest of the country and even the rest of the world goes. And I didn't realize that Prop 22 is a corporate American's wet dream come true.
Get into what they call a jumping mood. You know what I mean by jumping mood? Well, we just can't miss. Ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready?
With the playbook provided by Prop 22. They now hope to completely dismantle all of our New Deal protections. They have come right out and said this. Since the Prop 22 strategy worked in a mega state like California, they now have a model they can use to push this all across the rest of the country. And they have already announced their intention to pass a version of Prop 22 into federal law as well. And with all their toadies in both the Republican and the Democratic parties, and with all the rank and file Democrats likely to be going back to sleep now that Joe Biden is riding in on his white horse to save their world, then such legislation will probably sail right on through both the House and the Senate. And I can assure you that unless a whole bunch of fires are lit underneath his ass, then Sleepy Joe will be most happy to sign a federal version of Prop 22 into the federal law books. Yes, actual slavery may be illegal now, but with first sharecropping, and then Jim Crow, and then the war on drugs, except for that brief 10-year Reconstruction period immediately following the Civil War, slavery's de facto equivalencies have never gone away. And evidently, gig workers are now being designated as the next generation. It's time to take a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KHUH-FM, nor anyone that has anything to do with KHUH-FM. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. With all of the loopholes that the new religious freedom exemptions to mass gatherings brings about, I guess it was inevitable. A tequila bar in England has applied to become classified as a place of worship, so that they can get around stringent COVID-19 restrictions. And if you're interested in worshiping at the Church of the 400 Rabbits, it is reportedly a colorful, dimly lit, Aztec-themed bar, and they reportedly have a 6-page tequila menu. The website invites everyone to join us as we begin our journey to answer absolutely none of life's big questions. Such questions as, why are we here? What is the meaning of life? Why didn't they just fly the eagles to Mordor? And why did Domino's stop making the Double Decadence pizza base? Interesting questions indeed. What is the meaning of life? Why did Domino's stop making the Double Decadence pizza base? Why didn't they just fly the eagles to Mordor? And when it comes to life's great questions, I would add this one. Where do socks go whenever they simply disappear at the laundromat? Interesting questions indeed. This sounds kind of like a church that I might make up for myself. So, for the final thunderbolt this week, I wish to address Olympia's city leaders about the issue of homelessness. Most media coverage of homeless people, and thus most of the average stereotypes of homeless people, generally involves the drug-addicted crazy person out yelling on the street corner and scaring grandma. But actually, the vast majority of homeless people you never see and you never hear about, because they do not cause any problems. A lot of them have full-time jobs. A lot of them are raising children. I am myself a retiree living in a Chevrolet Suburban because my retirement check does not cover rent in Olympia. I am not disabled. I am not mentally ill. I do not use drugs. In fact, I hate drugs and everything to do with drugs. And I hate alcohol even more than I hate drugs. I am a contributing and respected member of my community, and I spend an average of 30 hours a week every week doing unpaid community service work involved in producing this radio program and in publishing the Thunderbolt newsletter. And even in the case of that drug-addicted crazy person who is yelling at everyone on the street corner, that person did not suddenly appear out of a vacuum. That person was once a child who, like all children, had a worldview that was imposed upon him that was largely shaped by whatever adults happened to be in that child's life. That worldview was then further shaped by further life experiences. And since no one on the Olympia City Council has the slightest clue what kind of worldview is imposed upon that child, and since none of you have even the slightest clue what kind of life experiences further shaped that child's worldview, then I would suggest you have absolutely no standing whatsoever to sit on your privileged white asses passing your privileged white person moral judgments upon people you know absolutely nothing about. And in addition, there have been scores of academic and peer-reviewed studies on homelessness in America. They come at the issue from different directions, and they are all of varying levels of credibility, and they come up with different answers. But one thing that all of these studies agree on is that the cheapest and most effective way to eliminate homelessness is to put homeless people into homes. Period. Yes, the feds, the state, and even the counties need to step up to the plate a lot more than they have been. This problem is bigger and more systemic than any city can or should be responsible for. But the city also needs to stop spending tons of money making the problem worse. The Olympia City Council has traditionally responded to homelessness by criminalizing homelessness, and they engage in the utterly pointless exercise of clearing camps, which accomplishes absolutely nothing but destroying a community where people knew, trusted, and assisted each other. And therefore, the council just creates a whole bunch of serious problems for people who already had a serious overabundance of serious problems to begin with. Yes, the Olympia City Council responds by giving huge tax abatements, quote-unquote, to wealthy land developers, so that they can go build a bunch of high-end condos and townhouses I absolutely know that I will never be able to afford. And I'm pretty sure the same can be said for virtually all of the denizens of our dirty little hidden secret across the street from the transit center. There are no requirements for low-income housing, and if you don't require it, then it won't happen. It often doesn't even happen when you do require it. I have actually heard Olympia City Councilwoman Danny Madrone make the argument, paraphrasing here, that building more housing for privileged white people will trickle down upon the rest of us, even though that economic theory has proven over and over again throughout all human history to be such complete and utter BS that I'm amazed anyone still tries to use it. Making rich people richer not only benefits no one but rich people, but everyone else actually loses in direct inverse proportion. Always, 100% of the time, I challenge anyone to empirically demonstrate any large-scale instance at any time in human history wherein everyone but rich people get poorer every time that rich people get richer. And in this case, since my condition of homelessness doesn't earn me any tax abatements, quote unquote, that means that I still pay a highly disproportionate percentage of my highly limited income to local taxes. So that means that the Olympia City Council is thus making me pay a bunch of rich land developers to make sure that I remain homeless. The Olympia City Council should note the fact that people everywhere of all political stripes are becoming very thoroughly sick and tired of our public officials screwing all of us for the benefit of a few rich people. I understand that the Olympia City Council wants to make Olympia safe for privileged white people. But the rest of us also love Olympia. And the Olympia Council should understand. That the rest of us are not gonna go down without a fight. Yes, what is happening here in Olympia is just a microcosm of a much larger systemic problem. But any fight against any systemic problem always begins in your town. that's it for the news and commentary section of this week's show. And that means it's time to get to work. But first, some music. This week, I would like to feature a band that is sort of like a fusion of symphony music and heavy metal rock. At first, I thought this was a Russian band due to their name, but I since learned that actually this is an American band. Please allow me to introduce you to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
That was Wish List, L-I-S-Z-T, Toy Shop Madness. Before that, we had Mozart's Last Night. Before that was For Elise. And we started off with a tune just called Beethoven. All of those from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I like lots of different kinds of music, and I especially like music that's not like any other music. It's really well-performed and all that, and those guys do all that. So that's it for the show this week. Hope to see you next week. In the meanwhile, you might want to consider giving some money to this radio station, because alternative media is in the can. We need money. All of us. But especially the radio stations. Anyway, that's it for this week. See you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's D-A-N-A 98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.